The protracted battle near the Afghan border highlights the difficulty in apprehending suspected terrorists in the region. Osama bin Laden has been reported to be hiding out there. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with a writer who knows the region well.
Robert Young Pelton is a writer and adventurer who's been in and out of Afghanistan for 20 years. He was there during the war in 2001 and got wind of a mysterious American Taliban. He ended up breaking the story of John Walker Lynn. In an article for National Geographic Adventure magazine, Robert Pelton points out that the official boundary between Afghanistan and Pakistan was established by the British in the 19th century and has been, quote, ignored ever since. The people on both sides are Pashtuns who subscribe, he says, to a code of hospitality, sanctuary, and badal, or revenge and righting wrongs.
If you can imagine Survivor on steroids, these people are forming alliances, breaking alliances, picking up other people's blood feuds. I mean, there's a whole lot of activity going on in terms of fighting for power and dominance. Bin Laden brings a strange sort of Y chromosome to that. He is now linking up with certain people, giving them money, power, authority, and going against other people. So he is shifting his allegiances as needed and also being sheltered by that traditional sense of hospitality. And also people are scared to death of him.
Too scared even, though, to finally have someone secretly turn him in?
It's hard to... If you can imagine the omerta of the mafia, if you can imagine societies that have been around for 2,000 years, let's say I see bin Laden driving by and I then rat him out. Well, my entire family is going to get killed by whoever is offering him sanctuary. It's not that simple. It's not just somebody making a phone call and off he goes. The other thing is that they like bin Laden there. I mean, he has fought for them and supported them for over two decades when we fought against the Russians. So he has a lot of friends there.
This last visit, you were invited to spend a week with an elder, a tribal elder, a very respected man, ex-Mujahideen.
Ex-friend of bin Laden, friend of the Taliban.
Ex-smuggler at one point.
Ex-drug dealer.
He was called Haji. Describe him for us.
Well, Haji was actually a funny guy. I was in a group of elders, and a number of them were interested in me being there. And he was later pointed out to me as being a big wheel there. He is... very well known from his time during the jihad against the Russians, and also he was a close associate of Mullah Omar and the rest of the Taliban. And he thought it was kind of funny that an American would be staying with him. Later on, I found out why. I mean, because he'd been attacked by the Americans, and he was thinking, could he trade me for a pickup truck?
You mentioned he'd been attacked. In fact, a group of elders headed to meet Hamid Karzai in the early days, just after the war in 2001. They'd taken an off route, as you describe it.
Haji took it upon himself to gather together a number of other elders to represent their area, to go to meet Karzai, just to meet him, to say hi. They took a back route. They phoned the UN. They phoned the Americans and said, don't bomb us. We're coming to Kabul. The Americans called it an airstrike. They killed 11 of their members. They killed 40 people in the surrounding village. And that's been 2 years. He's been waiting for some type of restitution. Now, in their culture, they have set up a blood feud. They felt that the Americans did this. The Americans attacked them, therefore the Americans should come to them with some type of solution.
Compensation.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, they're not really specifying. He always boils it down to his pickup. He had a nice new pickup truck that was blown up by a missile, and I remember having dinner with him one night, and he was explaining the story, and then all of a sudden he sort of looked upwards in this very exaggerated gaze and then sort of looked straight at me and said, and now God has sent me an American so I can trade for my pickup. And I thought, whoops.
You write about traveling through Taliban areas, and disguised, really.
It's a combination of not sticking out, but also traveling with the right people. One of the things I thought was very interesting is that Haji personally picked the car and the driver to take me through the mountains, which was controlled by the Taliban, and through a number of checkpoints. It was the very fact that if you wanted to mess with this specific driver, that meant you were messing with Haji, that got me through a number of those checkpoints.
Why is it so hard for the United States to find bin Laden when, as you describe it, if you talk to enough people and hang out long enough, you'd come across him?
But that's the key. Everybody knows everybody's business. So if they want you to go somewhere or to learn something, they will allow it. If they don't, you're in this mystical land of just bafflement. In Paktika province, which is about, let's just say, 100 miles away, an airstrike killed 9 kids. Haji knew about it the next morning in detail. Now he has no phone. He has no television. Now you can imagine if a group of jihadis show up, everybody in town knows it. So this is an area that's used for illegal activities, drug smuggling, weapon selling, manufacturing, you name it. And for almost 200 years, it's been an area where if you don't want to be found, you will not be found because it's such a closed society.
Robert Young Pelton wrote in The Land of Bin Laden for the April issue of National Geographic Adventure. I'm Renee Montagne, NPR News.